Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
You had no long-term residents that sat on this board. You had no seniors that lived in that community that sat on that board. You had no renters that sat on that board. You had no faith leaders that sat on that board. You had no workforce development person that sat on that board. And I have a whole litany of people that I could say should have sat on that board. So to me, and I said this to you both publicly and privately, and I will say it publicly, to me it looks like a good old boy system that is not fair and equal. And this is why we have people that are standing up and saying it's not right. It is not right.
Now, John, you may remember a couple weeks ago, like a month or so ago, and I made the comment, we were talking about the CRA meetings, and I was saying that, you know, because the city council is the CRA, just, you know, they wear a different hat, metaphorically, that, you know, a lot of business gets done at the CRA, and I have always made the choice to ignore the CRA meetings, mostly out of self-defense, because... What I need, like, three holes in the head is another set of meetings, another layer of meetings to have to watch every month.
Right.
Mother.
A pearl.
Yeah. So this week, the Community Redevelopment Agency meeting for the city of Pensacola was largely dominated by the discussion about the Baptist Hospital redevelopment, the first phase, which is going to be hiring this company that did the project or is somehow related to the people who did the project in Louisiana, the Garden District, which has been, you know, so wildly successful and interesting. That's the one that all the members of city council and people all took a trip over there, like a day trip to go see it. And they're like, oh, this is cool. Mixed income and renovation and post-Katrina and all that stuff. And, you know, crime is down. People are walking their dogs. You know, it's great. Let's do that here. Okay. So not so much let's do that here, but let's bring the people who did the community outreach that helped make that work. Let's kind of involve them in doing that same thing here to figure out what people want. Let's see if we can't turn the region around the former Baptist Hospital into something like that. So first step, hire, basically a public outreach team that's going to talk to the people and get their interests and figure out what are we missing without the hospital, all the things the hospital had in it, not just medical stuff, but like a cafeteria was a really big part of the community. You know, let's figure that out. Okay, so first step, let's put together a team of people that's going to evaluate all of the incoming proposals to be that selectee. And DeLarian Wiggins thinks that those people are terrible, that the selection's not good, that we're going to redevelop this in a way that's going to hurt black people. And just like all the other projects in Pensacola, we redevelop in ways that hurt black people. And he's sick of it. I'm not taking it anymore. And he's basically chewing out Erica Grancagnolo, the economic development director for the city. Erica is fantastic, by the way. Everybody knows this. So I don't know why he's – I honestly don't know why. DeLarian has always been very reasonable. I've liked DeLarian for a long – but just for reasons I cannot explain, in this particular case, he's just – give me that soapbox over there. Here we go. Everybody's wrong.
Optics to me is everything. And what I see, it doesn't look right. And so I don't think that it was fair. I think that I have other members in my community that would have loved to have sat on this board.
Okay. Well, so who did you recommend? Oh. But, I mean, I think there were concerns. You know, Charles Baer, who's... never at a loss of something to be concerned about?
For me, this is such an important project that I just don't want to engage in a process where we end up, yes, market rate housing is the way to go. I'm not sure if one is enough, and getting one group is enough. I feel like we need a better representation, and this group will set the tone for the way we go in that direction. The mayor can then use the data they collect as, statistics for why we should go in that particular direction.
Okay, but if you have an open application process and then you get three applications and two of them back out before the verbal participation phase and you get one left, didn't you do what you can do? And look, if they put this out and they hire these folks, Garden, I forget the name of it. It's some really simple acronym. I just can't remember it. Anyway, if you hire these folks and they come in and you don't like what they do, then, I mean, just don't do what they say to do. It all comes back to you in the end for approval anyway. And by the way, Brian Spencer, former city council president and longtime developer, architect in the area, he's going to be part of this team. He is part of this team. And it's not just folks from Louisiana, or who did the project in Louisiana, I should say. Travis Peterson's on this team. I mean, Travis is great. He was vital in doing the outreach for the Hollis T. Williams stuff. I mean, he knows what he's doing. What do you want? Literally, what do you want? And Allison Patton, you remember the mayor the other day? Now, this is a little unfair because I'm going to go in reverse order time-wise, but it was how I watched the meeting, so it's how it makes sense to me. On Tuesday, so this is a Monday meeting. On Tuesday, you had D.C. Reeves talking about this, and he says, you know, because he wasn't at the meeting on Monday, they kept mentioning that. Okay, fine, whatever. But he says,
we have no other mission other than to do what we say we're going to do. And for us to have an advisor of this skill set on board, I think that will allow us to do what we say we're going to do, which means we're going to have meetings as a community. I mentioned to Councilman Wiggins that certainly he can have as large a role as he would like, because this is a complex issue. So it's easy to say, well, let's make sure this doesn't happen and this doesn't happen. The harder decisions is making sure what does happen and making sure that those things get executed and that we do what we say we're going to do.
Yeah. What do you want? You know, it's one thing to say, well, we don't want, you know, gentrification. What do you want? We don't want to, you know, what do you want? Well, we don't want, well, do you want? You know, like, give me the thing you do want, because it's very easy to, you know, take strikes against something that other people are proposing. It's kind of like DeSantis. All your property tax, you know, proposals suck. What's yours, sir? All of yours suck. What's yours, sir? Well, all of yours suck. I mean, okay, you're not playing this game unless you're offering a thing. And just saying we just want to listen to the people is not a thing, right? In fact, that's what they're trying to hire these people to do, is to go out and listen to the people. So, you know, he's saying, just tell me what you do want. And Allison Patton is saying, you know, tell me what you do want at the meeting. And so it's the same basic charge that she's making.
What do you want at that site? You know, we don't want gentrification. Okay, so if we don't want gentrification, do we put in another Section 8 housing project there so we don't get gentrification? Do we put in, you know, very, very low-income housing there so it doesn't impact, you know, the affordability of the neighborhood?
This is actually, you know, Allison, I like Allison a lot. I've liked her a long time. But, you know, she's starting to make herself more heard on the council than I have heard her in the past. And she has this curious ability to make a devastating argument without making it sound like it was. You know how some people overemphasize the point, some people fairly emphasize the point, and some people kind of underemphasize the point to the point where you might miss the point a little bit? Okay, gentrification happens when the property values in an area go up and the standard of living goes up and the cost of living goes up and people cannot afford to stay there. So either because they can't afford the rising costs or because they want to profit off the rising costs by selling, they move out. An area that has historically been depressed or poor or whatever you want to describe it as becomes difficult to live in for those same people who've lived there for, you know, decades. And so they move somewhere else. That's gentrification. Okay? So they don't want gentrification. Okay. I get it. Fair concern. But if you develop the Baptist Project and what you put in there is retail and housing, and even if it's like mixed and affordable housing, and you put in services and you put in a cafeteria and you put in a school and you put in a library and you put in, you know, better streets and nice sidewalks and, you know, safer neighborhoods and, you know, wow, it's fantastic. Look, we never imagined that everything could be so good. Do you know what's going to happen? Other people are going to want to live there. And if you make it desirable, it's going to get gentrified. Because that's what happens to a neighborhood you make desirable to live in. So the only way to really make it not get gentrified is what? Keep it crappy. You know, put in public housing. Don't put in a bunch of nice things. you know, just make sure that you get mobile home parks, you know, apartments, duplexes, triplexes, you know, convenience stores. Put in bleep that people don't want. And guess what? Then everybody can keep living there. And the property values will stay what they are. And you can look at it and be like, look at that. Nobody left. Or you can put a bunch of cool stuff in there that's going to make the residents happy. And then guess what? People are going to want to live there because you made it nice. Which is it? John, am I making it too simple?
You're doing a good job, buddy.
But that's like, we want to listen to the people. We want to give them what they want. And we want to make it wonderful. And we want to make sure that we don't make it so they can't keep living there. Bro. Pick one. Or some like compromise between the two extremes. But that's still going to have some of the crap and some of the gentrification. It's literally a trade-off, one for the other. Unless maybe, what you do is you hire a group to come in and shepherd you through this process and steer between the Scylla and Charybdis, sorry for the Odyssey reference, of these two challenges. Please tell me you know the Odyssey reference.
Oh, I know the Odyssey.
They're going through a narrow pass. You got the Scylla monster on the one side and the Charybdis monster on the other side.
Okay.
And the one that's reaching down and battering the ship, the other one's sucking in the water, and so they go between the two. Okay, anyway, it's meant to be a metaphor for when there's difficult things on both sides. You've got to try to thread the needle between them. Anyway, maybe a group that has done this before in, I don't know, Louisiana, that has a lot of poor people, you know, like maybe they'd be the ones to hire to do this, which is why they're hiring these people. So we get through all this whole rigmarole, the hand-wringing and the, oh, my God, and the black people and the, you know, by the way, I don't want to make you think I'm just alleging that DeLorean is playing the race card here, but
the black community has been made promises for years.
This is true.
Hawkshaw. You go down there now, it's nothing there for the black community. And it was the black community that lived there for years.
Not wrong.
You go right on the other side of this building to the tan yard. It's being gentrified right now.
He's not wrong.
This was once a black community, and now that they're gone, they're displaced.
Aragon Court, you know that is a pretty ritzy, glitzy piece of Pensacola, right? Not always historically, right? So he's not wrong, but how do you do both? How do you make it awesome and still keep the poor black people there? Again, the only way I know, and I don't even know that I know how to do it, but I do know that there's some folks that have done it, sort of. Maybe let them be involved. So they get all the way down to the end of this, and, you know, DeLorean Wiggins is like, I'm going to stand up for my district, and I'm not comfortable about all this, but I will vote for it tonight. It's just, again, I've not seen DeLorean be, this is like Lumen Mays style of grandstanding. This is Lumen Mays way, like what he always does in the county commission. You know, we got to take care of the poor black people. We got to do all this and this and this and this. And then he votes for it, you know, in the end. And sometimes he doesn't. But they voted for it 7-0. They're going to, you know, ratify some of this stuff tonight. And all you're really getting is this company is going to come in and spend 180 days talking to people, doing charrettes, meeting people, going out of their way to meet everybody and talk to them. And then in the end, they're going to come forward with a plan for the next 180 days. So they got a one-year deal to kind of make this go well. And they're going to talk about this tonight. And I'm sure that the socialists of Pensacola are going to show up tonight and pitch a fit because that's what they did on Monday. And then other people are going to, you know, maybe they'll show up and be angry. Maybe I don't know. But in the end, I would expect tonight, because they've already had this is the meeting before the meeting. They've already had this fight. And we'll see after we get done hearing from the religious people who don't want the drag show. And yes, that's tonight. I've actually been asked to be on a podcast with Pastor Johnson. He does a podcast, so I'm going to
really?
I'm going to go talk with him about it, which I like Pastor Johnson. We get along well. We had a really great first conversation. I wish you could have recorded that one for the podcast. So they're not done. They're not giving up. So you figure they're going to be there tonight. We're going to have this there tonight. It's just going to be, there's a lot. Oh, and, you know, we're going to find out more about the Belvedere tree. Oh, this is really bad, though. You know what we learned from the mayor yesterday, right? A disc golfer, basically, had him chop this tree badly. And, I mean, it's awful. It's really, really awful. And I can't believe they didn't. She was just about crying on Monday at the meeting, talking about it, telling people about it, before they knew that it was the disc golfer who got the tree trimmer to come do this, which is just an unbelievable thing to me. So horrible story. And, I mean, all kinds of things for the agenda today. And maybe even some hand-wringing over Project Maeve and the exclusivity deal that really doesn't do anything except say that we're not going to sell that land out from under you while you're coming here to bid on it for nine figures. You know, I mean, that's all that is. John, I'm going to tell you in advance. So yes. What we've covered so far in the last 15 minutes, is the slow part of the show.
What? This is the slow part?
Oh, we got Manny Diaz yesterday talking with the UWF folks, getting asked why he doesn't think a PhD is an important thing to have because he's going to be the first president of the college with a PhD. You know, them getting asked why they cut from 84 applicants to one with no transparency, no explanation from Zach Smith, who's now missed two meetings to confirm his appointment to UWF at the state Senate. Oh, I mean, no, it's like, and I had, that's not even getting into, like, the Trust for Public Land presentation that's going on in Santa Rosa County, where they're going to be asked to slice off some of the renewal for the local option sales tax to put land in conservation. A very, very good plan. But that's it. Did you happen to know that we began the invasion of Venezuela yesterday? I mean, not really, but we did seize an oil tanker. It's ours now. But it's not about oil or weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Weapons of mass fentanyl in Venezuela. What did I say, John Stewart? Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's just, I probably have about 20 hours of material. And that's not even counting all the stuff I hadn't gotten to yesterday and the day before that's now just piling up on my desk. So, let's go. I'm Andrew McKay.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Join Ashna Navant Health 65 Plus Tuesday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the many benefits of coming to Ashna Navant Health 65 Plus, your local primary care clinic for the 65 Plus community. You'll hear about the classes offered, like cooking, exercise, and more, with two Pensacola locations on 9 Mile Road and Mobile Highway.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
10 athletes will face the toughest job interview in fitness that will push past physical and mental breaking points. You are the fittest of the fit. Only one of you will leave here with an iFit contract for $250,000.
This is when mindset comes in.
Someone will be eliminated.
Pressure is coming down.
This is Trainer Games.
Watch it on Prime Video starting January 8th.
6,000 children depend on your compassion this holiday season. WEAR-TV's Communities Caring at Christmas brings dignity and joy to vulnerable families in our community. Give online at communitiescaringatchristmas.com or deliver new unwrapped toys to WEAR-TV, Sandy Sansing Dealerships, or News Radio 92.3. Your donation supports foster children, children in poverty, and adults with developmental disabilities. Please support Communities Caring at Christmas.
Hi, this is Andrew McKay, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
What? Were you saying something?
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Mm. Good morning, 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Evacuations underway in the Pacific Northwest as intense rain is causing extreme flooding in Washington State. Officials there say evacuation orders are in place for residents north of Seattle. The Senate voting today, on two proposals designed to help Americans pay for health care. The affordable health care subsidies are set to expire at the end of the year. A proposal from the GOP would replace those with direct payments to individuals. A Democrat proposal would extend the subsidies for 3 years.
Yeah, it's like $1,500 or $2,500, depending on who you are and your household and per person and health savings accounts, so that you can spend the money yourself instead of just funneling it through to the insurance companies. It's Mike Crapo and I forget who the other one was. Anyway, go ahead. Cassidy.
Yeah, that. And then there's apparently a measles outbreak spreading now in South Carolina. The state health department there reporting 27 cases since last Friday.
Wow. All right. Great. Thanks so much, David. That's super uplifting. Appreciate you, bro.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. Votes on competing health care bills from Republicans and Democrats expected today. Louisiana Republican Senator Bill Cassidy.
It would take money that would go to these premium tax credits, and we put it into health savings accounts so that the patient has money in her pocket to pay the insurance policy out of pocket.
And Democrats want to extend the Obamacare credits for 3 years, and they are not backing the GOP plan. Charlie Kirk, suspected assassin Tyler Robinson, expected to make his first in-person court appearance.
His lawyers push to further limit media access in the case. A coalition of national and local news organizations is fighting it. The judge must weigh the public's right to know details of the case against his attorney's concerns that the media attention could interfere with Robinson's right to a fair trial.
Fox's Jan Lee Painter. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now 46 degrees with clear skies here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. The University of West Florida held a public forum yesterday with interim president Manny Diaz Jr., who's also the sole finalist for the permanent president position. Students, faculty, and parents had the opportunity to ask some questions.
Do you see the value and merit in personally earning a doctorate degree?
When you disagree with the Faculty Senate on a key major issue, will you commit to meeting with them and hearing their major arguments?
Do you have a plan and solid, actionable items to create a safe space here where people can have diverse viewpoints and opinions?
And during yesterday's forum, Diaz defended the nomination process, saying it was a search committee decision made within legal exceptions. He also addressed questions about office renovation spending, calling reports of a $1 million budget misleading. Diaz said the actual renovation costs came in below budget, and the university, he says, is moving forward with plans to break ground on the new football stadium in February. Well, the Navy leaning into artificial intelligence training for its next generation of sailors. Admiral Greg Huffman, who commands the Naval Education Training Command at NAS Pensacola, says younger recruits just aren't intimidated by AI like the older generations might be.
Their comfort level with new technology and bringing on new capabilities makes it very easy for us to try to keep pace with them in some respects and make sure that the things we are teaching, the curriculum we have, is relevant to what they are doing and what they are going to do with new technology.
And Huffman says the Navy is updating training protocols to match what incoming sailors already know about technology, such as AI. And Huffman says Navy leaders recently pushed out some communication encouraging all sailors to use AI and some specific new tools. He says some of the older sailors are still working through that, but younger sailors are naturals when it comes to that. Well, the Senate is preparing to vote on a Democrat plan to extend federal tax credits to help lower monthly insurance costs. The credits are set to expire next month. South Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz said losing the subsidies would hit her constituents
hard.
These are clients having to choose between whether or not they're going to pay their rent or they're going to be able to pay for their health insurance premiums.
And Republican Senator Rick Scott has a competing plan. He wants to let the credits expire and allow states to replace them with contributions to new Trump health freedom accounts. Florida currently has the highest number of Affordable Care Act enrollees in the nation. A death row inmate fighting for his life, Frank Walls, is set to be executed next week. He was convicted for killing two people in Okaloosa County 38 years ago. Yesterday, his lawyers filed an emergency motion in federal court to stop his execution. They claim Walls has chronic health problems and say that lethal injection would lead to intense pain and suffering due to a fluid buildup in his lungs. They say that would violate the ban on cruel and unusual punishment. Walls' lawyers have also asked the Florida Supreme Court to intervene in the execution. It's 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 46 degrees here in Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a lovely day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 58 degrees by this afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 46. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 67 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Going into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 70 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
46 with clear skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform. And we're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
Hey, this is Chad Brillante, Communications Director at CareerSource Escarosa. And when it comes to reaching job seekers and employers in our community, we look to ADX Communications for digital and radio advertising. Keep up the great work.
Hi, I'm Darren Costello, owner of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, Fine Wine and Cheeses. I enjoy working with such a great team with the radio station. Dependable, professional, local, and results-driven. ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Children's Chorus presentation of Christmas on the Coast is Friday through Sunday at the Sanger Theater. See PensacolaSings.org for tickets and times. The Pensacola Downtown Christmas Parade is Saturday evening beginning at 5:30 with over 100 entries, including 8 marching bands, floats, and the Blue Angels flight team. It's a highlight of the Christmas season. Submit your event at newsradio923.com.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we have Mayor D.C. Reeves on the line with us like we typically do on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Hey, great to have you. Let's start with a project that you have inherited. It's one that you care about. It's one that we care about. It's one that everybody wants to see solved, and it has been just years in the making. The Veterans Memorial Park bathrooms. We thought we had them, and then we didn't have it. We thought we had a trailer, and we didn't have a trailer. And we thought we had funding, and then we... So the short of this is it's gone out, and the bids have come back too high, and you're trying to work with the Veterans Memorial Park Foundation to figure out how to raise the money, because every time you change, you push back the timeline by 5 months. Is that the short version of this?
Yeah, that's a pretty good synopsis. Where we left it with them before is we said, hey, the EMP board, and listen, we all want the same thing. We're clearly aligned in the goal, right?
Agreed.
We want this done. And so we said, hey, here's the amount of money we have, and we will go out to bid, 132 days on average for us to go out to bid. Welcome to government, right?
Can we pause there? Because that's crazy that just getting to a bid from an idea is 4 months. I mean, that's insane. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, that's
optimal. And that's easy.
That's if there's no delay.
Right.
That's if there's no and that's not because, I mean, our team, kicks butt trying to get those things out. That's local regulation, state regulation. And remember, this is state money, which means you have to have X number of bids. So there's just additional red tape on top of that. So 132 days is efficient, sadly, for us to be able to get anything out. And listen, on a $25 million project, no big deal. On a $700,000 project, I mean, imagine, I got asked the question at the press conference, like, hey, is it frustrating? Or when people hear that, it's taking this long for a project, I was like, I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more that the amount of hoops that we have to jump through the government to spend $600,000 is really crazy. So we all want transparency, and we certainly don't shy away from that. But in the name of transparency, means more dollars, more of your tax dollars, while we delay more projects. And so, there can be transparency and probably some modernization of at what dollar amount things can be done.
Yeah.
And again, that's not an indictment of our council or anything. Mainly, it's a lot of state regulation that causes a lot of those delays.
Just for clarity, what is the price tag that the bids came back at? What's the delta?
So we had about, it's somewhere in the $600,000 to $650,000 range. Is what we when we met with the MP before it went to bid, said, hey, this is what we've got. Now, if it goes over this, do you guys want, you can fundraise for that. We can try to scope it down, but I really don't want to go back for another 4 months. I'm sure they don't either. And as you heard me say, we offer the option of saying, hey, this is too expensive. We've got a Portland Loo. We can put that in, in the meantime, and maybe we look at the long game of how to, come up with a class. Remember, this is a classroom and storage area and bathrooms. But it's, this idea is ebbed and flows. It started as we need bathrooms, and then it goes up the classroom, and then now it's kind of back down because of cost. And
yeah.
So, we've got about a $300,000 delta. So we're going to meet with BMP, and again, we all have the same goal. It should be, just say, hey, this is what we said we'd do. here's our delta. What do we want to do? This is state money that's got to get spent. And again, state money that was really started into place before I got here. That's like
amazing.
You said, how long it's been.
Yeah.
So we want something to move and something to happen. And, so we just need to meet with them and, looking forward to that conversation about, and give those kind of menu options of what's available and go from there.
Very good. Well, obviously we have all been hoping for this for years and years and years. And I mean, fingers crossed, let's figure out a solution. For several years, the public and I have been asking you, because they have been asking, about a post office downtown. Are we finally at a place where you can make the announcement, or at least it's public, records and all that?
I guess there's enough public emails going around. We are working with USPS to, and specifically with the city, we're working with them on, loading areas so for them to be able to get mail in and out at the old Sluggo's location at Jefferson Street. So, I'm not sure from a lease perspective, we're not involved in that really at all. Our interaction is, hey, Mayor, can you help us out with a place to pick up and drop off mail?
Yeah.
A loading zone on Romana, that type of thing. So of course, that's a huge asset for our citizens down there. We want that to take place. So that's what we're doing. So we're happy and certainly optimistic to see that go in. It helps our businesses, helps our residents, our visitors, and everything else. So it's been a long process. It's been this location for now probably going on almost 2 years.
Yeah.
That's, we talk about, local government, federal government. I don't think it has a reputation for moving a lot faster than us.
Right.
So That's where we are. But good news, and it looks like we're starting to at least see some light at the end of the tunnel because they're rekindling these conversations about their loading and unloading.
And by the way, I've always respected that, you know, you'll say, look, we're working on this. This is what I think I got. I can't say anything yet because it's not really my baby anyway. You know, and sometimes things have to wait until they become a little bit more ripe for them to be talked about in the public. You've also got this... Give me the short version of what happened at Belvedere Park. This oak tree got trimmed. It shouldn't have been trimmed. You guys are looking at fines. Do we know anything yet?
Yeah, the report that got back to me, Councilwoman Breyer had texted us over Thanksgiving weekend with a photo. You're talking about city staff. This got cut. Did you guys do that? You know, kind of what's happened here. And of course, you know, there wasn't a world of which we would have gone out with our staff and gone and cut a tree. So we certainly knew that wasn't the case. So look further into it. Ultimately, one of our landscaping contractors, I believe as the story goes, there was a disc golfer out there that must've run into a landscaper out there and said, hey, I'd really like that limb cut. You know, maybe he only, you know, can throw the frisbee left or right or something. I don't know. And that our contractor went ahead and did that.
Oh.
It's not a massive limb.
I'm sorry. I'm just, as a disc golfer, I am so horrified by this. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I play golf. I was thinking about maybe I should start, you know, wherever I play, whatever tree I hit into, you know.
Move that tree for me. I'm not a lefty. What are you thinking? Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, obviously not something we authorized. So we are going through the normal process. My request to Parks and Rec is to say we need to treat this the same way we would treat, a citizen. If there's a fine associated with the length of the limb that got cut on a heritage tree, then that's the way we're going to go. So I've talked to our contractor, outside contractor directly, of course, myself. I'm sure our staff has. And so we're moving through that process now. So certainly an unfortunate situation. I'm sure it was not malicious, but it was just a poor decision by one of our landscape contractors. And so we're going to try to get that rectified as best we can.
Can I ask you to handicap for me the likely veracity of that disc golf story? Is that, you think that really is what happened, or we're suspecting that's what happened? Or?
Yeah, I mean, that is literally the report I got, that it was directed by, you know, not by the Parks and Rec director, but by someone, that was having a bad day on the disc golf course.
Oh, I can't. Oh, man, I was not expecting that answer, so wow, okay. Oh, shifting. As a disc golf guy, the obstructions are the fun. I mean, the fact that things are in your way is part of what makes it interesting. So that's crazy. Anyway, and that a contract would take instruction from, you know, random weekend athlete. Okay,
right.
So switching gears a little bit, you said something yesterday that I thought was very interesting. As we know, the evolving story about Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza and the Food Not Bombs folks, and that what they're really after is the ability to protest/demonstrate/do food giveaway as protest/demonstration on their timetable without permission. The reason they don't want permission is because they don't feel like they should have to ask for permission from the government in order to do things that are constitutionally protected. I love that you said, well, at least now we know what the real issue is.
That's right. Because remember, this began as a moral discussion about the need to feed the homeless. And of course, again, I don't need to give my family background and how I've been around homeless services and reduction for 41 years on this planet, in my own household. And so certainly we prioritize that. And so that's how this conversation started. And then now it has evolved to a First Amendment conversation. And I guess the best analogy I could probably give, if it was me and you, Andrew, it would be like you texting me and saying, hey, I would like to see this public record, this email that I've heard you send. And then I send it to you, and you say, I can't believe that you wouldn't let the clerk do the normal process. I can't believe that. It's like, well, wait a second. I was just trying to help solve the issue at hand, like the today issue, which is we certainly want, so if we're going to have a different discussion, at least we now know that it's not, there's no Trojan horse happening here, which is, I can't believe you don't want the homeless to be fed, which is certainly not the case at PPD and not the case in my office. But now we want to have a conversation about that. So great. Now we're all singing from whatever relative sheet of music that we're on, and so then we can act accordingly. And as I said yesterday, whether we look at park hours, I think that's probably going to be the first thing that we look at. We want to be fair to everybody, and we want this to come to a conclusion. And you know, again, we thought that with someone filing for a permit, we solved problem number one and then unveiled with problem number two. So,
right.
So we'll deal with problem number two accordingly. And, you know, any idea that we're defiant to that, or that I haven't said for a year now that there's certainly things that we need to look at in terms of why do random parks in the city have 11 p.m. closing times? I don't know. Probably a park director from 1995 decided that. And so we're going to look at all of them. And of course, we're going to start with MLK Plaza. So, you know, we still want a harmonious conclusion, but it's a little easier now that we aren't masquerading one issue as another issue, but we're actually now talking about the same issue on the same sheet of music.
And just briefly, because it's on tomorrow night's agenda, the Project Mave exclusivity agreement. This is the massive shipbuilding project coming potentially, hopefully, fingers crossed, Triumph money in the stake to the port, 2,000 jobs, massive employer if it all comes out. This is really just you saying to them, hey, we're serious about this and we're not going to, you know, you're not going to go through a bunch of work to look at a 9-figure investment and we're not going to bail on you later, just like you did with the soccer stuff, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's very fair request of a size and scope of a project like this. They don't want to waste their time and then call and say, hey, we're ready to go, and say, oops, we leased it to someone else. You know, clearly that would not be smart on our part. And I think that's a very responsible thing for us to do and certainly for them to do. We know they are very serious at this point. This is not a pie in the sky situation. So it's certainly opportune time to show our commitment to making this project happen.
Oh, you know what? I said that was last one, but I do have a very quick one. Santa Rosa County is, yeah. I mean, every conversation is about speed zone cameras for schools right now. Milton, Gulf Breeze, the county. As far as I know, there's been nobody in Escambia even take up the question, whether at the school board. I asked Sheriff Simmons about it the other day at the county, same thing. You obviously oversee the city. Has there been any talk on your end about the need for school speed zone cameras in the city of Pensacola?
Not necessarily, you know, probably from, you know, I got enough on my plate
right.
In that regard. And, you know,
you don't want to be the double camera guy. Right. I get that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, to the defense of, I can't believe you're taking money from citizens, and I'm like, oh, you mean, you know, people breaking the law. Okay, so, you know, but, yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think it would be a bad thing. I think people driving slower and not running red lights is a good thing for a community. But, yeah, we have enough on our plate from a camera perspective, and so
right.
We haven't really pushed that issue. But if that was something that came to us through the school district or something like that, obviously, you know, we would approach that with open eyes and ears.
Okay. And I thought that's where we were, but I've just kind of found it interesting that all of Santa Rosa seems to be in on this, and none of Escambia County seems to be interested in this, at least not yet. So that's why I kind of asked. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. How often does Mayor D.C. Reeves rearrange the furniture in his house?
Ooh, not often enough. You know, I think we've settled in for 4 or 5 years at the place I live and haven't moved much at all.
All right. Do you feel guilty about that? You sound like you feel like you ought to change it more often.
I know. I'm questioning, am I supposed to be? I don't know. Is it
well,
like the feng shui,
you know,
in here?
I'm a fix it and leave it, you know, until there's a problem. So I'm, you know, we've had 11 years of the same furniture in my house. So, it's, you know, I don't think that's weird at all.
Okay, so then I'm not behind.
No, not at all. Do you think it's weird when people like their own posts?
You know, this actually just went through my brain recently. I don't know who it was or what post it was, but I think so. I mean, it's kind of weird. I mean, I think it's presumed that you like your own post. I would hope. You know, it would be,
yeah, you wouldn't have written it if you didn't,
for,
right?
Someone to maybe downvote their own post. Yeah, maybe they should, like, do the laugh emoji. They should laugh at their own joke or something.
I do that all the time.
I think that's a little odd. We're going to assume that if you posted it, that's like number one.
It'd be extra weird if they posted it and then put, like, an angry emoji. That'd be kind
right.
of a weird
exactly.
one. All right,
or
and this is,
you know, in conflict with their own posts.
This is probably going to be the most important question I ask you today or ever, so pay attention. You ready? Geographically, where does the panhandle end?
Man, that is a good one. You know,
is Tallahassee in the panhandle or not in the panhandle?
That is the great debate. I as a former two-time resident of Tallahassee, I feel like it is not included. I feel like when I think of panhandle, I think of Apalachicola,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically, you know, right before, maybe the Eastern time zone. I don't know exactly, but I don't know. I controversial or not, I feel like Tallahassee is not included.
Well, that makes you in agreement with Alex Andrade. That's what he said when they were talking about the state bird at the state house. And he said, I don't think Tallahassee's in the panhandle. And I thought, okay, well, let's have this conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
There you go.
We're an hour behind you, you know.
Right.
If you forget about us in elections, then that means we're our own society over here. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, we look forward to the conversation tomorrow night at city council meeting. Thank you, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Oh, and by the way, John has the official answer on that. Is Tallahassee in the panhandle?
No.
Because? What's the panhandle? The handle of the pan goes all the way to the Big Bend, right?
Right.
But this is not about a geography term. This is about the identity of the Central Time Zone.
Yes.
Right.
And how different we really are.
We're very different from all of them over there.
Yeah, those
so
people.
We claim the panhandle, and they can claim the Big Bend, and then everybody can have their own thing. It's fine.
Exactly.
All right. I'll take it. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, they've got about 300 on the lot, vans, trucks, Jeeps, SUVs, crossovers, sedans, daily runarounds, whatever you need. They've got it, okay? And they've got a bunch of them, like 300. So they've got multiple makes, models, trim levels, years of any kind of car you want. You can go look at a lot of things in one place. And if they have exactly what you want, you can buy it. It'll be a good price. You'll be the second, maybe the third owner. It'll be, you know, new-ish used, okay? They'll warranty it to 10 years or 100,000 miles for all their cars, and they'll take great care of you. If they don't have exactly what you want, you can send them looking. They go look for cars for people all the time. And then if they find it, and they'll check with you, you know, is this the one you're interested in? No. Okay, we'll keep looking. Is this one you're interested in? I am. Let me drive it. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, that's what they do. It's kind of like they're your personal car buyer because they want your business. They want to satisfy you. They want you happy. And you can start to learn what you want there, and then you might want a little bit different trim level or a different color or, you know, whatever. Or, hey, I'm willing to take more miles, find me a better price, you know, that kind of stuff. They work for folks like that all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com. The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very little.
So Cracker Barrel's screwing up again.
No.
Yeah, so after all the hubbub over the sign and after all the hubbub over the interior redesign and, you know, making the peg game nicer and kinder and gentler so everybody gets it like a participation trophy, they're changing the food.
What?
They've dropped menu items. They've streamlined production to try to make it simpler in the kitchen. They don't bake their rolls, biscuits. They don't bake them on demand. They bake them and keep them. They're making food, like, not on the kettle but in the oven. I mean, they just – people are like, it just doesn't taste great anymore. I don't know why I would come here. And the syrup is bad. Apparently, they've changed syrups. And so people are bringing in their own maple syrup to go eat at the
– wow.
Yeah, so their sales are down, like, 8% over last year.
Just genius.
Just – God, dance with the one who brought you. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Now, Cracker Barrel's just never been the same since Brad's wife had that incident there.
Go on.
The Trump administration is threatening to sanction the International Criminal Court unless they pledge not to prosecute the president. An administration official said yesterday they're concerned the ICC would turn its attention to the president. The official did not say if concern was over the recent U.S. military strikes on alleged drug boats in the Caribbean.
We sure are throwing our weight around a lot for a thing we don't participate in. Because we don't recognize the authority, right? So, yeah, a lot to say about that. Maybe another time.